In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In this blessed day, when we remember the entrance of the Lord Christ to Jerusalem and the people receiving him as a king, the same saying comes to all of us when the scripture says, "Behold, your king is coming to you." And all of us are requested also to receive the king in his coming. And we are not speaking about receiving him as an earthly king, as the people understood by that time, when they expected that when he comes, then he will allow Israel to be freed from the people who are occupying them, the Romans. We are speaking him about his second coming, whenever we are to wait for him and receive him as a king who is going to reign forever. The people received him with four things that for us today to meditate upon and think of. What did I prepare to receive my king with? Some people prepared balms. Some people took off their coats and they put it under the donkey that the Lord was riding upon. Some people, they shouted and they cried before him, "Hosanna to the Son of High, the King of Israel." And some others took three branches and put it under the feet of the donkey. These four things that the people prepared are for all of us also to prepare to receive our king with. Let us go and see what does each one of these items mean. The palms are always a symbol of victory. They used to receive kings with palm leaves. And actually the first one who did this was a Jew. His name is Judas the Maccabee. And when he came victorious in the war against the Romans, the people received him as a ruler or a king. The palms are a symbol of victory that we are all requested whenever we receive the Lord. We come to him victorious over the sin that's reigning in this world. We hear the promise that the Lord gave in the book of Revelation, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." It's a promise given to everyone who will receive the Lord while he is victorious over the temptations and passions and sins in the world. There is war against the passions that we are requested to carry upon every single day, going and swimming against the stream. St. Paul reminds us and the Galatians when he says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Every day we are in a war. Every time we are tempted to do something that we know is not pleasing to God, and we try. Maybe one time we win, one time we lose, but we are trying, we are not surrendering to sin. This is something that will be counted for us. When we allow the Lord to be victorious in our lives, then we can receive him with these palms at his second coming. The war against the tyranny of sin, we hear St. Paul speaks about this to the Romans, saying, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts." When he says sin reigns, this means sin is like a king, an emperor, and he wants to reign. And if sin reigns in our mortal body, then we will die forever. The war against the thoughts that we go through every single day. Many thoughts are thrown into our minds, and we try to resist and try to take over our minds. St. Paul speaks of this when he says to the Corinthians, "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." When he says bringing every thought into captivity, this means there is a struggle. It's either for him to win and then bringing the thought into captivity, or the thought will rule and will reign over us. It's a war, and the Lord, he is the one who is going to fight for us if we truly work with him and allow him to work with us. The problem here is when we surrender to the sin and we consider it as a second nature in us. It's okay that we sin. I don't have to be troubled with it because this is the status of everyone. There is a story about a man who put in his mind that I'm going to resist the temptation of gossiping and speaking evil against others. He tried many, many years with no avail until he received an advice from his father. He told him, I recommend for you that you put on your mind three filters. He asked him what these three filters are. He said to him, I used whenever somebody comes to me with a story about another person. I ask, and firstly, I put this story against the filter of the truth. I ask the person, do you know for sure the facts that you are telling me, or this is just an opinion, or you heard it from somebody else? If he says that I am not sure, then here, these things are not going to pass because the filter of truth will not allow it. You are telling me a story that you are not sure of. His disciple asked him, what is the second filter? He said to him, the second filter, this the filter of goodness, is what you are going to tell me is good or evil. You are going to tell me something good about this person or something evil. If the man says, no, this is something bad about the other person, I tell him, no, don't continue. Then you are coming to tell me something you are not sure of, and this thing is evil. I do not want to listen to. And then he asked him, what is the third filter? He said, the third filter is the filter of edification and benefit. Is what you are going to tell me will benefit me in any way? Will edify me when I hear it? If he says no, then whatever is going to be said cannot pass the filter of edification. Here's a story of a man who is struggling, trying. He is not surrendering to the fact that it's okay to gossip or speak evil about others or judge them in any way. He put before his eyes and in his mind three filters, the filter of truth and the filter of goodness and the filter of edification. Palms are symbols of victory, and the Lord wants all of us, whenever we receive him victorious. The second thing that the people received him with their coats, they took off their coats and they put it under the feet of the donkey. The coats taken off are symbols of sacrifice. I took off something I own and I put it under the feet of the Lord. I am happy to do this. I do this sacrifice willingly, actually with joy. As we hear in the conclusion of the Vatos Theotokia, the martyrs will come bearing their afflictions. This is their coats. They gave up their own bodies in order to witness to the Lord Christ. All what we accept to lose for the sake of the knowledge of Christ, I accept to lose this for him. This is the coat that I am putting underneath his feet. What we rely upon as means of security, this is also the coats. I rely on my money, maybe my career, my intelligence, my relationships. All of these are coats that we take off willingly in order for us to receive the Lord with it. The suffering that I accept with thanksgiving is also another coat that I choose to put under the feet of the reigning king. Actually, our sacrifice comes from the realization of what was given for us. We will find it easy when we believe truly what happened on the cross was for me and for you and for every one of us. A pastor one time tried to convince the people, they know, but he wanted to make the picture to come close to their eyes. He said to them, I will tell you about a true story of a man who owned a canoe, a small boat, and he used to transfer people from a shore to another shore. And then one time his son came and he wanted to cross. And then another person came and with his son to be crossed to the other side of the shore. The man took both of them, his son and the other person. His son was a godly person, and he raised him in the fear of God. And then while sailing, a storm came upon this small boat, and then both his son and the other person, who is known to be an evil, fell in the water. The man has only one floater, and he has only a few seconds to decide to whom he should throw the floater. He thought about it, and then he thought it this way. My son, I know him. He's a godly person. His heart is for God, and I raised him to fear God. If he dies now, he will go to heaven. The other person, if he dies, he will perish. So the owner of the canoe, the father, decided to throw the floater to the other person. And while he is doing this, he said to his son, I'm sorry, my son, I loved you so much. And then he got the other person into the boat. The people hearing the pastor said to him, Pastor, sorry, we do not believe you. This doesn't happen. No one can do this. You told us at the beginning this is a true story, and we are telling you we don't believe you. He told them, this is exactly what happened in the cross. The father chose to sacrifice his son in order for us, being evil, even enemies, to redeem us and to save us and to buy us to himself. Realizing what was done for us will make sacrifice something easy, and we take it actually thinking what was given was much more than what we deserve. So people received him with palms, people received him with coats, and other people received him crying out before him. This is a symbol of witnessing. They are preaching, they are telling everyone. Some people will receive the Lord with what they have done in terms of bringing others to him. St. John the Baptist was known as a voice crying in the wilderness. If we summarize all what he has done, this man just cried before the Lord, prepare his ways, be ready for him whenever he comes. The prophets and apostles and the servants of the word are among this group, those people who kept on witnessing and telling others. They never gave up, and they were never discouraged when people do not receive the message. My testimony about him and his goodness to those around me is this cry. When I say and I insist on saying that he is good, his mercy endures forever. No matter how difficult is what difficulties I'm going through or others, I keep on witnessing and saying that he is good. Witnessing by my life and actually how he lives in me, when the people see in me Christ, the world this year is full of words and full of sermons, but very few people can present the Christ to others and preaching by their own lives. Living as the salt of the earth, the light of the world, something that we can bring with others to Christ without saying a word. There was a story about two people who were sick, and both of them, they were in hospitals. One of them was a believer, and this man was able to move in the room and sit on his bed. The other person was a non-believer, and he couldn't move at all. He just laid in his bed. He cannot move or go anywhere. People have to serve him wherever he is. The person who was a believer, he sat on his bed and beside his bed with a window. In order to make the other person lying on the bed feeling good, he started to describe to him what's happening outside. He told him about how the sky looks and has its color, and the sun today is shining and the birds are singing, and he kept every day to entertain him by saying to him what he's seeing outside. And the man was lying, the non-believer lying on the bed, was so much happy to hear the stories and meditate upon and imagine what his friend is describing for him. After 3 days from doing this, the person, the believer, he died, and he was taken away, of course, from the room. And his friend, the non-believer, who was not able to move, was able to sit and move in the room. He went to open the window that his friend used to describe things to him every day. And he wanted to look upon all of these sceneries that his friend kept on describing to him. To his surprise, only he found a solid wall. There was nothing. His friend kept on saying and telling and describing things for him in order for him to feel good about the world outside, but he was not seeing anything. The friend asked himself why he was doing this, why he kept on trying to make things easy for me, just only for one reason. He want my life to be easier. He want to entertain me in the best of his ability. The man was rebuked in his heart, and he thought of, this man was my eyes, the light for my life, and this changed him. This is what we all do. If we truly live to witness to Christ, make the life of others easier. Try to help, even if we ourselves are going through hard time. Living just for myself or minding my own business, do not think of others around me, is not truly something that we can be proud when we receive the Lord at the last day. So people received him with palms, others with coats, others with cry before him, and the last group received him with tree branches. The branches of the trees are symbols of fruits. Being fruitful means being full of virtues. This is what everyone from the saints and those people who dedicated their lives to God will receive him with, the virtues that were shown in their lives. The righteous will come at the last day bearing their virtues. These are the fruits we bear when we as branches abide in the vineyard. We cannot be fruitful on our own. No one can. But we are fruitful as much as we abide in the vineyard. These are the fruits we bear when the Holy Spirit works in our penitent hearts. When I repent, then the Holy Spirit will find for himself a place where he can work in me. And then all of these fruits, love and meekness and faith, are going to be shown. There is also a warning. Being fruitful is not something good to do only, but actually we have to, otherwise we bear the risk of being cut off. As the Lord says, and even now, actually this is Saint John the Baptist, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The fruits that shown in our lives, virtues, are also something that we should be ready to receive the Lord with. Among these fruits that we all need to carry on, especially these days, is the fruit of faith, where we trust God. Even if everything around us looks not very good, and we are seeing difficulties and tribulations befalling upon the whole world, at that time we need to carry the fruits of faith, trusting his goodness and that everything will work for good for those who love him. I conclude this with a story about a man who was faithful, trusted God at all times. He was a friend of a king, and every time, whenever anything happens, he always could say this word, everything works for good. God is good and everything is okay. Thank God for whatever happening. At one day, he went with the king to a hunting trip. The king, while loading his gun, then by mistake, he pulled the trigger and then he hurt his finger and his finger. He lost his finger. While the king is screaming of pain, his friend came to him, said that everything is good. Thank God. The king was very much offended and he didn't like what his friend is saying. And he ordered that his friend be taken to prison because he said something inappropriate while the king was going through this pain. In second year, the king was going through this hunting trip as usual. And then he fell in the hands of people who were cannibals, eating the humans. They took this man, the king, and while they are presenting him before their gods, before they slain him, then they examined him. He has to be perfect and with nothing in him, nothing wrong. And they found that he is missing a finger. And they said, we cannot offer him. Okay, let him go. The king, when he saw this happening, he remembered his friend and how he told him when this happened, this is for good. Thank God for everything. And he went back to his friend. He released him from prison and said to him, I'm very sorry. I understand that what you're saying was right. And I'm sorry that I put you in prison. Then the man said to him, it was good that I was in prison. Thank God for that. He asked him, how this can be good for you? He said to him, if I was not in prison, I would be with you and the people will eat me. So there is always something good if we really think that God is faithful and good and he works everything for good for those people who trust in him. Glory be to God forever and ever.